So once again, good afternoon. So year of opportunity. Most of us got very excited about that. This is the year of opportunity. How many of you have been actually saying, all right, I'm expecting some opportunities then. If this is the year of opportunity, then I'm expecting some opportunities, right? I got to wake up yesterday, last night, yesterday, to what the responsibility is in believing for and expecting opportunity. It's nice to say the little church thing. It was the year of opportunity. Ooh, thank you, Lord. Well, I just want to put this out there. That goes two ways, okay? It's the year of opportunity. But if you don't handle it right, it can become the year of missed opportunities. Because if it's the year of opportunities, that means opportunities will be presented, not stuffed down your throat. Who's with me right now? That means things are going to be presented to you, and you're going to have the godly insight to know what opportunity you should be involved in. And which one you should walk away from, which is a good opportunity, which is not so good opportunity, which is your opportunity for this season, and which is maybe an opportunity I need to look at later. So, gentleman who lives a balcony across and down from me, I have balcony. With plants a little bit, my balcony, but I'm just still amazed that I have a balcony. I just want to tell you that. I never had a balcony before. Only when I would get in hotel rooms. I never had my own balcony. He grows plants and stuff too. So we started having a plant conversation one day. And he asked what I did, and I asked what he did. And he has this, and I'm not going into a bunch of detail, but basically, he is like, he's not an insurance company, but he procures people and gets people in insurance companies and these insurance companies to the practitioners. And he has this book of 7,000 people that he then goes to the practitioners, helps them get customers. He helps them. He trains the people who start the companies to learn how to recruit these people to get them to the doctors, to get them to the hospital, to get them to sign up for the insurances, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he's been working and building this thing out. And I'm like, wow. I'm listening to hospitals, doctors, insurance, the Lehigh Valley I'm in. Okay. Let me hear him keep talking. And he's talking about it. And what he's talking about has nothing to do with me and who I am and what I do, right? But he has the ear of my spirit. I just said something right there. So I want to make sure you heard that. My natural ear is like, oh, yeah, it's nice. But my spirit is like, tell me more about this thing. So he laid it all out for me. This was about a month and a half ago, maybe. And I was like, wow, I'm really proud of you. This would be such a young dude, like in your mid-30s, and you got such a big vision, such a big, this is really huge what you're doing. This is big. And he showed me his website. He showed me how he put this thing together. He's created his own CRM. He has his own back office. What's that thing, Lindsay? You know the name of the company. Force, something Force.
Of course.
Yes, he has this whole big accounting with them, and he just has a right. And I'm sitting there going, wow, this is really powerful. I don't know half of what you're talking about, but this is great. Well, he called me up and wanted to meet with me with his partner the day I had to go to the hospital. So we didn't get to meet. But he kept pursuing for us to have a sit down. And last night I happened to be out there with my plants and he came out and he said, if I call my partner, can we meet now? Yeah, let's go to Starbucks. And we met around 7 and we were together to midnight. And they weren't trying to sell me the product or to get me involved, so to say, even though they were asking me for my professional tweakage. What can I offer them to help them better set this presentation up? So I'm like, this man is identified without knowing me that I'm a structure person, that I'm an organizer, and I want your insight. And they sat there and they asked questions and they did this presentation. I mean, they didn't leave me to midnight. And at the end, I said, your presentation is all over the place. You got so many great things, but I've been asking you through the whole conversation what's your low-hanging fruit, and you guys can't explain it. So here's what your problem is. Bam. Talking about this, you know me, the story goes somewhere. As I'm listening to him, I'm going, I need to know about this company. Because this company is going to be worth millions and soon. I could feel it in my spirit. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. I know it. So I started asking what kind of money they needed. They start talking money that I'm like, I have that. I have that in an account. I have that. Okay. Give me a presentation of what you're willing to give people for such and such an investment. Not sure yet. Well, you'll need to figure it out. Now, why am I telling you all of this? That's an opportunity. I can accept it. I can reject it. But I don't know it. When we decided to do FIA, I had some background in staffing. That wasn't as scary. Hair salon, totally out of my warehouse. No idea what we're doing here. Real estate, when I first went to real estate, no idea. People led me along a path. I didn't know what I was doing, but in the end, it paid off. Same thing with mutual funds and investments. We can't, and this is not part of the message. I just wanted to make sure this was recorded so y'all can have it. We can't keep praying to God for opportunities and then shrinking from everything that doesn't look like what we think our opportunity should be. We have to be open enough to say, that's not my world, but I'm willing to give it a shot. One person hats off to and always love who does that amongst us is Celine. She's like, I believe in this and I'm going to invest in it. What the heck do you know about that? Nothing, but I just feel like it's something I should do. And she'll take a shot. What the gentleman said to me last night was, as he sat here on my couch after we came back, we stayed in Starbucks, so they threw us out, and then we came back here. And he said, I remember the first time I came to you, I didn't know you were an initial investor. And I stopped whining to you about the struggles I was going through with this business and how much work it was and how I was doing this. And you sat there and you looked at me and you said, you know, I could be an investor and all you've given me is grief. I wouldn't want to give you a penny. And he remembered that. So when he came back this time, he came back with all the pros and all the good stuff that he was doing. He said, I remembered what you said. Then he asked me, if nothing else, am I willing to be on his board of advisors as they build this company? And he showed me the picture of the board and he said, you notice we have all older people. We want people that look mature and look like they know what they're talking about, as we go out and present to people. I said, very smart. These guys are like in their like middle 30s, right? This is what opportunity is going to look like. And this is why I want to share this with you guys. It looks scary. It looks unfamiliar. It looks like, unless you are here with me, God, I'm about to make the biggest mistake of my life because I don't know what the heck I'm doing right now. It looks, but it still looks sound. It doesn't look emotional. I didn't get emotional. Ooh, I want into this. It was like, yeah, Before I'll be interested in even saying anything to you guys, tell me how much money you got in the bank. Tell me how much of your personal money, all the Shark Tank questions. Oh, you're invest. So you're invested in this. Oh yeah, we got everything in this. Okay, but you're liquid. You got some money in the bank. It's not a lot. No, it's not much. Yeah, but it's money. How long you been doing it? 3 years. 3 years. Okay, these are the kind of things that the wisdom of God would make you pursue. I'm not talking about an emotional thing, but I'm talking about when people come to you with these opportunities, do you see them? Do you? He asked me a question, very important. He said, if it takes you 5 years to see the return on your investment, are you good with that? I said, are you freaking kidding me? It's sitting in the bank right now, and I ain't getting nothing on it. That little interest I'm getting ain't squat. Absolutely. You're talking about me seeing a regular income. And so he said, if we make it so that you make a decent enough living, will you stay in Florida? And I'm like, look at Jesus. You know how many times I want to leave here? And God was like, no, you're not. No, you're not. But I'm paying this much a month and I'm not even here. Yeah, but you're still staying here. This is what opportunity looks like, saints. This is what God does when he starts. Where this thing is going to go, I don't know. I believe in my spirit, it's going to be huge. Huge hospitals, insurance, it's going to be huge. But God had it delivered to my lap. I didn't pursue it. He brought it to me and he laid it down in front of me and said, will you at least be our advisor, if nothing else? Saints of God, this is the year of opportunity. And opportunities present themselves veiled. Are you listening to me? If they came in plain sight, everybody would jump on it. You have to dig in your spirit. You have to have conversations with the Lord. You have to have a sense in yourself that you know. Like I said, what he said didn't get the attention of my ears, but it got the attention of my spirit. I said, there's something here. There's something here. I'm saying this to you. In this year of opportunity, stop looking for God to bring you opportunities in the form of the things that you already know and are comfortable with and already accept. That's not what opportunities look like. Opportunities, how many of you say right now, boy, I sure wish I knew about that crypto when it started. Boy, I sure wish I was there. I could have invested in Microsoft. You probably wouldn't have, because you probably would have saw these two little young guys struggling to figure out what they hate doing, barely getting by and figuring. And I said to him, I asked him, what kind of car is you driving? Why was I asking them these questions? I want to know not how much, no, not, no, good guess, but no, I didn't want to know how much money they had. I wanted to know how much money they were not spending. If you're driving around this is Florida. You're driving around with Bentleys and stuff, and you ain't even launched the business yet. I won't have nothing to do with y'all. He said, I got a 2015 Volkswagen. Okay, you serious? He said, we didn't even start taking salaries till recently. I said, my staff in business, I didn't take a salary almost to 8 years in. Okay, he said, you when you believe in what you're doing. You roll the money back in. That's what you do. Lord, where you want me to go with this? Because I got my scriptures, but I don't feel led to go there. I don't want you missing opportunities because they don't tickle you. I don't want you missing opportunity because right away it don't feel good on your insides. I don't want you missing opportunities because you're not prepared. And these are the things, I mean, this is a whole, we having like a whole vision builders right here is what it looks like is happening, right? Opportunities present themselves and you're not ready, then they're missed opportunities. If you really believe in that God's gonna move, are you putting money aside for opportunity? Are you preparing yourself for opportunity when it comes? Or are you still looking to see how we're going to get that new this and how we're going to buy that new that? How I'm going to get this new car and how I'm going to have it? And you're looking to satisfy yourself right now. One of the confessions in our thing is, right, we're looking for growth over convenience. We're not looking, I'm not looking to buy new stuff. I'm looking to put money aside for opportunities. Well, what kind of opportunities? And to my son Q, I'm gonna say this directly to you by the Holy Spirit. Opportunities is not seeing something and saying, having somebody say, ooh, and then you go put your money in it. That's not preparing for opportunities. That's looking for somebody just going to save you, right? I know enough about business that when that was presented to me, I was able to go, I don't know about this business, but I know about the way you guys have it structured and that could work. I understand enough that I can ask the business foundation questions to know that I can actually make something with this. This is something that can grow. Real business opportunities are going to come when you're ready for them. Just throwing money into stuff is not preparing for the business. You bring me opportunity. Nelly saw me do it. Lindsay saw me do it. Anybody who works with me, I came back telling Nelly stuff about 360s and full frontals and all that stuff. That she's like, how you know about that stuff? You want me to invest in your business? How come you're not doing hair like that? Why are you not making wigs? Why are you not doing? And if you think about it, the whole flow of what Live Unique did or what Nelly did changed. She went from them Brooklyn weaves to like hair, right? So what I'm saying is, you learn your opportunity. You sit with the opportunity when God brings it to you. You study it through. One of the things I've always loved about Lindsay as my partner, and why she's still my partner to the day, regardless of the ups and downs, that's my end word to the end of time. And here's why. When Lindsay met me, she knew nothing about internet. She knew nothing about websites. She knew nothing about none of that stuff. At that point, websites were HTML. We were on MySpace. I said, I'm going to show you how to program this site so you can put your own stuff in your own list. Just go copy stuff from there and you drop that code right there and it puts it there. And she went in and she learned everything she could now to the point that she's making money developing websites for people. Put it in front of her. This is what it's about. She's gonna go and she's gonna learn it. She's gonna try it. She's gonna do it. She's gonna mess it up. She's gonna do it again. And she's gonna figure it out. She's gonna eventually gonna come back and ask questions and find out what you're not doing, and then go do it again. And this is what Nelly is developing now. And this is what I'm telling you. If you're not willing to capture all there is to capture in an opportunity, and all you're looking for in the opportunity is the money, you're gonna deceive yourself and you're gonna wind up hurt. You're going to see money just keep floating away. So when Lindsay would say to me, oh, let's get this person who's a marketing person, and they just said, give them $2,500. I'm like, yeah, you give it to them then. And when it profits, I'll give you yours back. Because that's not something that's researched. Give me something that you sought out to the core of your spirit and you know is right. God is bringing opportunities. This is the year of opportunity. But opportunities are not going to come in a way that look normal and comfortable to you. They're a lot of times going to come to you veiled. They're going to come to you hidden. The pearl of great price, you got to find it. You got to go out and you got to look and you got to find it. And then you're ready to sell everything you have to buy that pearl. But you have to do it. This conversation just happened last night. I woke up this morning saying, God, this is going to be big, isn't it? Yeah, this is going to be big. I believe it's going to be big. Am I right? My flesh is going, you could be wrong. I could be, but it's an opportunity. I'm going to take it. And I'm going to tell you if it work or if it don't. But the way these brothers hustle, I told them, I said, if it makes me $3,000 a month and pays my rent to stay here in Florida, it's a good deal to me. They both looked at each other and smiled and said, we're going to get you a new deck together. We're going to get back with you tomorrow and we're going to clean up this presentation and we're going to show it to you again. All right, good. I want to see it. We're so glad to meet you, man. And they just kept hugging me. And I was like, you give me some little brothers, some sons, Father, with business and ambition in them and fire in them. Everybody on here is either a genius or a potential genius. Everybody here. But the key to being a genius, like I told you, is not smarts, is not intelligence, is not wealth. It's hearing the voice of God and doing what he says to do when he says to do it. That's what makes a genius. A genius is the person that I heard God before everybody else, or I listened before everybody else, and I did what he said. Everybody here has the ability to do that. I'm praying for opportunities in this year of opportunity. I don't want this year to pass and only a small percentage of you take advantage of some opportunity. We're in March, we're pushing to April. Somebody should have presented some kind of opportunity to you by now. And if it hasn't happened, then the question is why? Last week's message, we talked about it, glorifying his works. Well, his works are going to be glorified by things being presented to you. And I started the message out talking about that guy stepping out for God and getting knocked out. I don't remember if it was the second round, third round, getting knocked flat out and then getting right back up and winning the fight. This is what opportunity looks like. He wouldn't have had that opportunity if he didn't get in that ring. He wouldn't have the opportunity, you know. What's that saying? Everybody's a great fighter until they get punched in the mouth, right? You know, everybody's great until you get punched in the mouth, right? Then you realize, okay, this is a fight. Opportunities are like that. Everybody got great visions. Everybody got dreams that the Lord's going to do for them. Everybody's known God can do great things, and I'm believing God for this, and I'm believing God for that. I'm believing God for success. And to success, punch you in the mouth. And when it punch you in the mouth and knock you flat out, are you going to get back up and win the fight? These are the things that at this season and time of my life, I've become very strongly acquainted with. Get back up. Go for another one. Well, what about the first building? Well, the guy's not trying to sell it now. Doesn't matter. I already got my hands on a second one. And I'll swing back around to him again and I'll knock him out. This is the way it's going to go. I have to win because God has called me to win. God has called you to win, but you can't win if you're not in the game. You can't win if you're not competing. You can't win if you're not willing to face losing. You can't win if you're not willing to face adversity and stare it down. You can't win if you're not willing to go after whatever you have to go after to get what God has called you to do. You can't glorify his works if you're not working. I woke up this morning and everything in me was trembling. I'm like, God, this is another opportunity. And we ain't talking $10,000. We talking about between 50 and 100 grand. And I'm like, yeah. Okay. What are we doing here? And he said to me, I was sitting here and Nellie and I were praying and we have our morning prayer and we're praying and all these images start popping up. I didn't know I was going to share this with you, but I will. I couldn't focus on the prayer because these images kept coming. I kept trying to rebuke the image, like, focus, focus, focus. You're supposed to be praying. And it took a minute for me to realize that there was God doing this imaging. And I saw a small airport with like five jets. And then I saw something that looked almost like a castle. And I saw, start seeing all this property and all this land. I'm like, what are you, what am I seeing here? And he said, you've gotten so excited about this deal and that deal and this building in Allentown, that building. Do you remember when you were homeless that I showed you the vision where you owned a city? Do you remember there was an airport in there? Do you remember that there? You're getting excited about this thing. Do you remember when I gave you a vision a long, long time ago and you were homeless? And I you praying and crying before me, and I showed you a city. And it was hundreds of miles big, and there were houses all over the place, and there was manicured lawns, and you had a like you owned the city, remember? Yeah. And this is what I said to Nelly this morning. He said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Where is your hope? What are you hoping for? You're hoping for a building right now. That's good. But where is the hope of that thing that I showed you? I said, that's gone. I put that so far in the file cabinet on the low, low, low files. Didn't even put a label on it and close the drawer. I don't even that. Listen, life done made me let go of that. He said, well, you need to go in the file cabinet. You need to get it back out. Where is that dream I gave you, Dr. Wise, when the whole world was your oyster in the spirit, when you just saw it, you heard it, you felt it, everything in you shook. When the word was spoken and prophesied over you, over who you are and what you called to be, and you knew it, where is it now? And God said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You can keep saying you have faith, I'm going to do it, but if it's not attached to a hope, I can't bring it to pass for you. What are you hoping for? Faith is the substance of, stop telling me you have faith. What are you hoping for? What are you earnestly expecting right now? What are you believing for me to do right now? Give you an increase, get you a new job, people. Listen to what I'm saying to you. What are you believing for right now? What's your hope in? Earnest, the words God said to me today, strained expectation. You went on Amazon, you ordered that thing you always wanted. And you looking at the thing every day to see how close the truck is. You're on the app. Oh, it comes today. Oh, between 3 and 5. And you every few minutes, you pulling up that app to see how, and now they show you 5 stops away, right? And you look at, oh, 2 more stops to go, right? He said, your faith toward the things I've spoke over you should be like that. A strained expectation. Not strain like you heard it, but strain like it's coming. And it's coming now. I'm waiting for it. Counting down the days because I'm supposed to have that delivery. So when I spoke that it's the year of opportunity, I knew things would be presented. What I didn't understand was, but things could be missed. If you're not prepared when the opportunity arises. So I talk to my people. I talk to my people that I work with, and I say all the time, what's next? What's next? Why am I asking you what's next? Because I need to know what you're hoping for now. Because if there's nothing, then we have nothing to talk about. There's no conversation to be had. Stop telling me you trust God. No, you don't. You don't even know what you're trusting Him for. I tell you what you're trusting Him for. Your daily bread. I could pay my rent this month. That I won't wind up in trouble financially. That's not an expectation. That's not a hope. Hope is built on that fire that God set in you a long time ago. And I'm saying right now that He's rekindling it. He's bringing it back to your remembrance. He's renewing the dream inside your heart. But it's only going to come in the form of opportunity. And you have to be ready for it. And you have to be ready to risk it when that time comes. I don't want to take no money out of my whatever and invest in some business that I don't know if it's going to win or lose. But that's what investing is. It's risk taking, isn't it? You don't know. But I believe in the God who keeps me. And I believe that anything I invest in from this day forward and even past things must win. They will win. They have to win. This is my year of opportunity. Last thing I want to say, I didn't plan to say this, but it just came up in my spirit. So I'm going to share it. I'm telling you, this has become like a serious vision builder, a meeting. Shonda Rhimes, you know who she is? All these movies and TV shows, Grey's Anatomy, and all the stuff she created. She said she had a job. She was working to get by. And God told her, this year, I'm going to present to you opportunities. And I want you to say yes to everything that comes your way. And she said, the first few things, just nothing was working. And then this opportunity came for her to write this movie, TV show, whatever it was. And without the experience of doing that, without having a background, without having anything, she did it. And the doors opened. And you know who she is today by name. That's the Black Sister. I forgot what she was doing before, but it wasn't nothing major. It was a job. God didn't tell me to say yes to everything, but he told me to be very clear in my spirit to pay attention to what's floating past me. So when Esther called me in a couple of days' notice and said, "Let's go to New Orleans," I'm like, "I don't need to go to no New Orleans. I got stuff to do here. I don't need to do this." Lindy said, "I really think you should go." I was like, "Yeah." So I went to Nellie, who originally said, "No, you got stuff to do." She said, "You know what? I'm sorry. I didn't pray, but when I prayed, God told me you should go." I went. And I went there saying, "God, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for me to understand something that I don't understand right now. I don't know what it is, but I know I will." And after going there, I saw the way he opened doors in communications and relationships. And I said, "Okay, you are restoring everything to me that the enemy has tried to take. You are restoring everything. You're just bringing it back. All the seeds I've sown over the years are starting to come into harvest all at one time." So the fact that he's had me today showing me this land, this city again, and bringing that city back, I'm like, okay. And I'll close on this without saying a name. Lindsay, remember a time that I went to go meet somebody with you and they were very successful and I was in awe about them and God said, "You're bigger than him." Well, recently seeing some things, I was like, "Whew, okay, I was kind of comfortable then. This is different level." And he reminded me again today, "You're still bigger than him." Okay. I don't know what that means in the natural, but I can receive it in my spirit. And you can receive it in your spirit. You're bigger than what you are right now. You're better than what you are right now. You're more powerful than what you are right now. You're wealthier than what you are right now in the natural. You are bigger than your surroundings. You are bigger than your circumstances. You are bigger than your bank account. You are bigger than the relationships that you have. You are bigger than the friendships and the connections that you have. You're bigger than the people that you think you want to be with or you think want to be with you. You're bigger than all of this stuff if God is your focus. You understand what I'm saying? You're bigger, you're bigger, you're bigger, you're bigger, you're bigger, and you sit back and you let it just be drawn to you. And when an opportunity presents itself, you are ready, you are prepared. You're not like the woman with no oil in her lamp. Your lamp is full. You even got enough oil to give somebody some if you need to. Your lamp is overflowing. Your spirit is ready. God has prepared you. You took the class that you need to take. They told me in this process, he said, "You know, you don't have to do it, but there's a class you can take to be a certified insurer. We can train you. It takes about a month, but you can still do it. We can manage your books for you. You don't have to do it." I said, "Nope, I will get the class. I will be insured. Nope, I don't want to have to depend on you to tell me what I'm worth and what I'm not worth. Absolutely not." This is the opportunities that God gives you. I don't know nothing about studying for no insurance licensing class, but if that's what it takes for me to win in this, I will be an insured, I'll be a licensed insurer. Yes, I'll do it if that's what it takes. Jesus, you guys gotta understand, opportunity presents itself to you and it pulls you out of your comfortable place. You're bigger than where you are right now. You're bigger than this dream that you've accepted. You're bigger than this dream. Bigger than this. And it's time to stand up and rise up to it. May the word that you heard bring all the blessings of God to you. Before you cut us off, I want to pray. Father, thank you for interrupting my written out message today. And just having me minister to your people by your spirit. I know, Lord God, I feel the vastness of your presence beginning to sit on me and on us and permeate through us. Everybody here, I can feel in my spirit, knows that they're bigger than where they are right now. Everybody here knows it. Everybody here bears witness with it. I know they do. And the enemy has been trying to keep it away from us and keep it out of our sight. But I'm commanding that division floods them right now, floods them, comes back on them, and just overwhelms them. And the desires and the hope and the expectation floods through them so that that faith will have substance to lock on to. We are no longer average. We're not mediocre. We're not pushing in step by step through. We are more than conquerors. Of the head only and not the tail, above only and not beneath. We are the lender, not the borrower. We are a city on a hill which cannot be hidden. We thank you, Lord God, for the people who you sent to this message, whose life will be forever changed by this message. And we pray, Lord God, that today I speak that a seed, an indelible seed, has been planted in each and every person here, and every person who will hear this later. That will be the beginning of a harvest that will change their future and their destiny. Even if somebody tunes in later or deal with now, this family curse thing that people talk about, this thing that's followed the family for years and years and years, right now, I speak against. And I not only break the family curse, I dissolve it. From this point on, there is no family curse. There was no family curse. We move forward now by the anointing called upon from the heavens above to our lives. We are everything you said we are, and we embrace it now. We see opportunity. And we know how to discern the ones that are ours. And we know how to dismiss the ones or pass the ones on that are not. And as a result, we know how to sow opportunity. And we know how to seed opportunity to others. But we know opportunity. And we're strong and we're clear. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.